When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good morning and welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Lakers Insider for Lakers Daily, and today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers head coaching search, which is now officially underway after the Lakers fired Darvin Ham over the weekend with one of those Friday news dumps that the Lakers seem to really enjoy. So we're going to talk about the initial list that has come out about the the people the Lakers are at least initially interested in. That list is going to grow and it's going to shrink and it's going to do all kinds of things before the Lakers finally hire their head coach. So we'll talk about that list, some of the trends that I noticed within it, and also some of what the Lakers need to be looking for next, right? And then also, like, I guess, depending on who they hire, right, things that they need to do to supplement what that coach does well and make up for some of those coaches' shortcomings. Because there isn't the perfect head coach available in this coaching search. Even if it's Lou, he has some issues there that the Lakers would have to, I think, make up for. Even if I'd be pretty surprised at this point, given what we know about Lou and about the Clippers and about that situation, that he would actually be available. But, you know, for all of the people that the Lakers are at least interested in right now, they all have some complications that they are going to have to help make up for whenever they do hire that head coach and surround that coach with their assistant coaching staff. And then, you know, look, at the tail end of the show, I'm going to go into the iTunes mailbag. I'm going to get into the Twitter mailbag. And then we already have one super comment in here. So I'll answer questions in the form of super comments as well. A quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button. If you guys are watching live right now on YouTube, chances are if you're watching live right now at 9 o'clock on a Sunday Pacific time, you're probably already subscribed, but hey, just in case, you know, hit that subscribe button. That stuff really helps the show. Also, please hit that like button if you guys enjoy the content that you guys are currently watching right now, as that helps the show as well. And then if you guys are listening to this in the form of a podcast in the morning, hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably Odyssey. But yeah, we are going to dive into all of this stuff. And I pulled up the article that I wrote that finally dropped on Friday for LakersDaily.com. I'll go into that and offer some extra context from that article as well on Darvin for those who are interested in that. Loaded show. Despite the Lakers being out of the playoffs already, there is a ton to talk about here. So let's dive on in. All right. I'm actually going to start with I just realized after the fact that the last time you guys heard from me was on Friday, and that was before the Clippers were eliminated. And that means, like, I know this is from two whole shows ago, but this is now an annual tradition. This is something that I hold near and dear to the heart. This was probably the best content that I have ever created in my entire decade-long career in doing this. Sit back, you know, relax. I have a minute and 45 seconds of just amazingness.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Board.
It was wide open. I can't even make sentences.
Lou Williams, he said they just came together this year, as if that was an excuse, like the other team in the conference finals didn't do that.
Well, what happened was, it doesn't even matter.
You know, we didn't have time to get it together, you know? Like, we just...
Did he say that with, like, lemon pepper wings in his mouth? Is that what happened there?
He's nicking it off his
finger. Like, oh, man, there were some absences that cost us some time.
I just can't quite figure
out of his teeth.
Why we don't have any chemistry.
It's like, Lou, in your mic'd up segment, you said 1, 2, 3, Magic City, leaving the last huddle.
All right, we're going to keep this thing going. Let's take a quick second. And to be clear,
they didn't even make the Western Conference. After all that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done anything that it was anywhere near as popular as that segment was. That was a lot of fun. That was from way back in the day, heading into the bubble, or while the Lakers were in the bubble, en route to their championship in that 2020 season. And yeah, that was Pete. You guys heard there. I don't think that he was officially a part of the show back. We might have enjoyed. Yeah, actually, because that was, Pete was, I think Pete was actually co-host back then with me at Locked On Lakers. You also obviously heard Harrison, right? The original co-host at Locked On Lakers. This makes me feel really old. Average dad asking, you used to do Locked On Lakers? I was the host of Locked On Lakers for, want to say, like, either 5 or 7 years. I forget how long I was actually the host there. We, you know, built it from zero listeners to, you know, whatever it was when I left. And right there at the very end, I hired Andy and Brian to, you know, help co-host the show there at the end. And then, you know, while I was doing that, I got offered a full-time gig at SB Nation and at Vox to run their Lakers podcast network and also help build out their NBA podcast stuff. And I took that opportunity because it was benefits and I had a kid on the way and all that stuff. So here we stand. What happened? David asking, what happened with Pete and you? Why did you guys go separate ways? Well, you know, Pete started the LFR pod, and obviously LFR, you know, Laker Film Room was a thing when I hired him, and that content was really taking off. By the time actually that Pete was getting ready to leave, he had already started working for the Lakers. It was no hard feelings or anything like that. He just said, like, I don't have the bandwidth to continue doing this. I think we were recording 3 days a week by when he left. And, you know, I said, totally understand, you fulfill the dream. You're now working for the Lakers. And, you know, I wish we text, actually we texted over the weekend, you know, celebrating, you know, Clippers Elimination Day. I every time I tweet out that clip, I usually send Pete a link to that tweet and just say like, man, look how popular this thing still is. And we had a fun little conversation, fun little back and forth on why we think that resonates the way that it does. And yeah, I love Pete. He's legitimately like a brother to me. You know, we talk basketball, we talk all this stuff, but we also talk life, because we all, you know, we care deeply about each other and how things are going. And it was just time for him to move on, and really happy about the way that LFR has grown. I love Pete. Darius actually kind of sort of helped me break into this industry when he let me come on and write at Forum Blue and Gold way back in the day. And then Mike is actually a Vikings fan. So Mike and I text fairly regularly about the Vikings and all that stuff. So I love those dudes at LFR. I love, you know, it, basically all around this, it's a pretty small world, right? At one point I was doing a show fairly regularly with Trevor. We would do home and home shows. I would do the Lakers Nation pod occasionally, and he would come on and do, I think it was Lakers Outsiders when we were doing that, or not Lakers Outsiders. I was, Locked On Lakers when he would come on and do that occasionally. And, yeah, like you could go through any number of people who have who do this stuff, cover the Lakers, and I probably have some kind of a relationship with that person, and tend to like, I like just about everybody who does this. I respect just about everybody who does this, and I'd like to hope that they feel the same way. But yeah, Lockdown Lakers was my baby. You know, handing that over to the Kamenetsky brothers was really hard to do. That was a difficult day because I made that difficult choice. And then watching it, you know, continue to grow while they are the hosts of it has been really cool too. I really like and respect the Kamenetsky brothers and, you know, Andy and Brian. I like Andy a little bit more, to be completely honest, but I, all of those guys, everybody that I mentioned there, just good people. It's a really cool industry. It's a little cool kind of corner of the internet that we've carved out for ourselves, but enough on that. We got to move on. I just love playing that clip. It is my favorite thing that I ever did. All right, let's go into the article that I wrote for Lakers Daily, which I'm going to go ahead and put it in the comments for those of you who would like to find it or read it. This is the headline of it, exclusive, inside the Lakers firing of Darvin Ham, their tumultuous season, and where they go from here. So the most notable things in this, I believe, are, you know, the continued support. Remember, heading into the Denver series, I wrote that even a first-round exit might not be enough for Darvin Ham to be fired because Rob Pelinka really believed in him and Jeannie Buss really believed in him. And I frankly think that they still do believe in the guy, even with them firing him. I just think the pressure was too much, both internally and externally. You know, they were there. They heard the chants with Darvin at their last home game there. And then you had, or not their last home game, I think their second to last one, with the one that they lost. And then you had, you know, players that were pretty unhappy with the job that Darvin Ham did, especially that returning core from the team that made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And I think there were people at the higher levels of the organization who also felt like they needed an upgrade with their head coach. And look, like you go from the Western Conference Finals to the play-in tournament and a first round exit in which you only won one game. And somebody's going to have to pay for it. Rob Pelinka didn't resign, so Rob isn't going to pay for that. You also have, you know, players who are going to be difficult, if not impossible, to move, right? So, like, the players aren't going to feel it in the same way that the coach. The coach always is the easiest position to replace. And, you know, that's where the Lakers decided to make a big change going into this upcoming offseason, where they let Darvin Ham go. And, I think the thing that I've, you know, that really stuck out to me in the conversations that I had in prepping for that piece that dropped last Friday was, how split the organization was on Darvin. And, like Aaron said, consensus is kind of a rare thing in basketball or in sports, right? It's all subjective. Some of it's objective, right? But a lot of this is opinion on the job that a coach or that somebody is doing in your organization, and how you define what is good or what is bad varies person by person and, you know, subject by subject. And I think that's where things still sat, even when they made the decision to fire Darvin Ham, that it was a consensus decision, as I know it to be, but it took a little while to get there. And obviously Darvin is now a former Lakers head coach. That was one thing that really stood out. The relationship between the players and Darvin was another thing that, you know, it was just like there was not very much love lost between, like, I think Darvin liked the players, but I also think he recognized he kind of lost them. And I think that, or I guess I know that the players were pretty done with him by the time that, you know, the season came to a close. And it was a talented enough group that they were able to do some winning here and there. But especially once they started playing Rui and starting Rui, that team really kind of took off. But while they were taking off, they were just kind of like frustrated with the head coach who took so long to make that decision. So I think that was that. Those were the two kind of most interesting things that I noticed in my research for the piece. And then, like, the final thing, and others have pointed this out, this is something that we've talked about here on the show all season long, but there is nothing worse than working for a manager, an employer, whatever, who is absolutely allergic to accountability, right? And that is how I would define Darvin Ham, where you had so many opportunities that he could have possibly, you know, stepped up and said, yeah, I probably could have done this a little bit better here. Maybe should have challenged here. Maybe should have used a timeout here during this run. But it basically never happened. And even right there at the end of the season, rather than confront the reality that the Lakers underwhelmed on his watch, Darvin said it was injury's fault, even though he had LeBron and AD healthier together than they have ever been as Lakers. And then he also said that, like, it was inconsistent play from starters that, you know, hurt his ability to coach in the way that he wanted to. Again, using players as meat shields for accountability that he should have faced. And that lack of accountability it just erodes the relationship. It eats and eats and eats. This is like parasitic relationship between player and coach, where I've used this example in the past, but Sean McVay comes to mind. Somebody who, when the Rams lose, the first person that the first thing that he looks at is a mirror to figure out where he could do better and do a better job of putting the Rams in a position to succeed. And, you know, I think that's pretty consistent with most head coaches, good ones anyway, that you are never going to live up to your potential if you are unwilling to learn from mistakes and grow from those mistakes. And you can never learn or grow from mistakes that you don't believe exists. And based off of the quotes that Darvin gave throughout the entirety of the season, I don't think it's a crazy jump to believe that he didn't think that he ever made a mistake as the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And I obviously disagree. So I would say that, like, if you were to read it, I hope you do check out the article that I wrote for Lakers Daily. I know that I had some people saying, like, this is a lot of the same stuff that we already read. keep in mind, I wrote that thing the Wednesday or Thursday before game four in anticipation that they lose game four and fire Darvin heading into the new week. And obviously they won that one, right? Then they lost the next one. And then it took a little while for them to actually fire Darvin. And that's why, like, right when the season ended, you had the Athletic drop their, you know, tell all piece, right? Because they knew that Darvin was going to get fired. You had ESPN drop theirs also, because once the Athletic dropped theirs, you may as well drop yours too. And so you had two pieces that did great jobs, by the way. There were details in there that I didn't have, just like mine, I think, has some details that they didn't have. And I thought that, you know, Dave, for ESPN did a great job in writing his up. And then the gang at the Athletic, right? Jovan and Shams and, Sam, all of those guys did a fantastic job writing theirs up too. And those platforms were ready to go and hit send a little earlier than we did. And I still stand by waiting for the coach to be fired before you start considering the guy fired. And I've no problems whatsoever with when we released it, but for those of you who are like, well, this is all regurgitation. It's not regurgitation. I promise you, I wrote it well in advance before I knew any of the stuff that the Athletic and the ESPN were going to have in theirs. This information was very readily available all year. And frankly, the Lakers fired the remainder of the assistant coaching staff, which is, you know, pretty normal, right? Because you want your next head coach to be able to hire their coaching staff. I thought maybe Handy would be saved because the Lakers, you know, like the job he does with developing players. And I think obviously he has a big, a big backer in LeBron. But they decided to part ways with Handy too. And, you know, this is complete speculation on my part, but I think that they were kind of wary of that coaching staff, and the amount of leaking that they potentially did. And I think maybe that played a bit of a role here as well. But all in all, Darvin Ham gone, rest of the coaching staff also gone, and we will see which direction that the Lakers are going to go in next, which kind of brings us to the list of candidates that was released right after the firing. So as it stands, the list of candidates are Ty Lue, Jason Kidd, JJ Redick, Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, Charles Lee from Boston also came up. I believe David Adelman, his name has also come up in the time since. So you have at least an initial list that covers a lot of bases, right? You have experienced coaches in Mike Budenholzer and Jason Kidd and Tyronn Lue. You have up and coming assistant coaches, right? Getting ready to step into that responsibility for the first time in Charles Lee and Adelman. And then you have, Kenny Atkinson, which kind of like splits the difference there, where he has the experience as a head coach, just not quite as much as some of the other ones. And then you have somebody like JJ Redick, who is a complete he doesn't have any experience coaching at all. Whether it's assistant coaching in the NBA or let alone head coaching in the NBA. And honestly, like, that's what I asked for from the beginning, right? Was turn over as many chairs as you want, you know, like, look under rugs, look under sofas, like do whatever you can. I honestly was hoping for a longer list, you know, and I think it'll probably expand here. But again, I look back on the process that the Dodgers went through when they hired Dave Roberts, and that like it was like in the teens, the number, because back then I was running Dodgers Nation and I covered that coaching search, and I wrote so many words about, you know, potential coaching hires, and you know that was a hell of a process. And say what you will about about Dave Roberts and the playoff success or the lack thereof, but objectively speaking, he has done, I think, a very good job with the Dodgers. He's not a perfect manager, but I think he's done a very good job with the Dodgers, and he's a big part of that identity of the organization and his ability to work with the front office. Players love him. His coaching staff, I think he does a fantastic job hiring out his coaching staff. And, you know, when you do the proper work to go out and find yourself to fill an important position, you know, you can do so when you finally do make that final decision. You can do so with a bunch of confidence because you know you did everything in your power to make that work. And, you know, I started this conversation, right? This episode, I talked about, you know, when I was at Locked On Lakers and I was, you know, there was that time where I was interviewing with Vox and they were approaching me about that position. And I knew that there was a chance that I was going to have to leave. And I did do a bunch of research into potential, you know, co-hosts after Pete left. If I remember correctly, the Kamenetsky brothers had just been laid off by The Athletic. I forget. And I reached out to them and I'd done episodes with them in the past. I liked the way that they cover the team. I liked that it was two co-hosts that would, you know, allow us to be pretty flexible when it comes to the scheduling and all of that stuff. And there were others that I took into account and took into thought, like who were a part of the thought process. Not going to go into detail there. But when I made that final decision to bring the Kamenetsky brothers on with the possibility, the very strong possibility that they would wind up just taking Locked On Lakers, I did so with a ton of confidence because, like, you know, I did my homework on every step along the way. And I think here with what I'm looking for here from the Lakers, and at least so far, you have plenty of those boxes checked. But what I would like to see here is expand this list, like really build this thing out, you know, and talk to everybody. You know, everybody thinks that, like, you know, from an employee point of view, that the point of the interview process is to learn, you know, is for the employer to learn as much as they possibly can about this candidate. But also you learn about yourself. You learn about your competition. You learn about what other companies are doing with this position and what they're doing elsewhere. Right. Like when I was interviewing at Vox, they were interested in, like, all right, what theories and what processes are you interested in bringing over? What have you learned from Locked On Lakers and how can we benefit from that at Vox? Just like now at Odyssey, those conversations take place all the time. How can we benefit? I've now done this for a decade and the people that I work with at Odyssey are, you know, always asking, hey, how can we benefit from your experience? And those conversations started way back when I was, you know, interviewing to potentially bring my show to Odyssey. So, I the Lakers, especially given how insular they are and how insulated they are, I hope that they interview 50 candidates. I don't care. Just learn as much as you could possibly learn about how other teams and other organizations are operating so that, you know, you can add some of those ideas to the way that you are going to operate here moving forward. And at least this initially, given how many boxes are checked from this first list of candidates, I like where this is heading, at least initially, so far, with the understanding that this list should grow.